Fox Tuesday. Seth Green and Giovanni Ribisi are the best of friends with the worst of dads.
My dad quickly closes the laptop every time I walk into the room.
My dad can clear his throat for 50 minutes of a 90-minute movie.
Now they're moving in.
Stay out of the bathroom between 3 and 4. That's my go time.
And there's no way out.
Your father made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
With scotch?
He said it was for dipping.
Dads, a new comedy, premiering Tuesday at 8, 7 Central on Fox.
PodcastOne.com presents the Ask Women Podcast.
Uh-huh.
A place where two female comics and a professional wing girl get together to dissect the female mind.
You don't know how I feel.
And explain it to men in terms they can actually understand.
Boobs.
Now, here's the lovely ladies of Ask Women.
Hey, you guys. Welcome to the Ask Women Podcast, where you get real advice straight from the source, not vaginas.
But also vaginas.
I am one of your hosts, Kristen Carney, comic.
Vagina number one.
Comic and something, figuring things out. And
figuring things.
Yeah, can you
well,
for
it's
me?
Up in the air right now what I am.
It is. Always is. I shouldn't even say comic. Yeah. And of course, we've got Marnie, the awesome wing girl and relationship expert extraordinaire. And of course, the wonderful actress and writer, Haley White. And Mo.
Penis to the vaginas.
Right.
It's got to have one.
I forgot. Vagina number two, three, and penis number one.
One penis to three vaginas.
You're the ureters to the vagina.
What's a ureter? You're so scientific. What is that?
It's where your urine goes through.
Your urethra?
Well, there's things also called ureters.
Ureters?
No, there are things called ureters. My father was a biology teacher, but he's horrible.
I thought you were going to say he's like a ureter doctor. I was like, what is that?
No, look it up, kids. The more you know.
Yeah. The more you know.
Very interesting. Okay, I learned something today. I like it.
I hate introing sometimes. So anyway, we were, Marnie and I, separately, but we both were in New York recently, and we had similar experiences.
We did.
And I thought it was so amazing because everywhere I went on, pretty much, because I am looking good, I was hit on, and so was Marnie.
I know, and we were so happy. We're like, we want to go back to New York.
Yeah, New York is such an amazing place with just great energy, and there's people, everyone, people who are listening who are like down south or whatever, don't have a misconception about New York. People in New York are friendly, they're open to talk, and it's the people who aren't from New York that might come off miserable. People say that about L.A., but people from L.A. are miserable.
They are miserable, yeah.
Not the people who are originally from LA, like
no, imports. That's what I just said. No, the original people from LA say that, but they are the miserable ones.
What? No, I find no. LA locals or originites. I don't know.
No, I agree. No, the locals are cool. It's. I mean, I am an import, so I can't.
I am too, and I suck.
I'm an import, and I'm amazing.
Yeah.
No, I don't know actually any originals, but we were talking about
exactly your brother. Come
that's
on,
true.
Your brother from Game of Thrones.
We have an incestuous relationship, Mo and I. But the thing is, it can't be incestuous because I'm nowhere as Middle Eastern as you are. Like, I'm totally white. But we were just saying how the energy in New York is so different than it is elsewhere. And what it does is it opens up our own personal energy.
Yeah.
We become more approachable, more likable, more fun.
Yeah.
And it's like a little bit of an alter ego.
And it's a little bit of an ego boost as well, to be honest. Because I was saying, like, when I came home, and Kristen was saying the same thing. It's like we're back to boring world.
Yeah.
But it's because we're out there and interacting with so many more people. Like I go on the subway, I go walk to go to a coffee shop. I'm constantly interacting with people. Whereas, you know, in LA, I have you guys once a week, which is fantastic. But the rest of the time, I'm working out of a box, basically, myself. And I'm working virtually with, you know, people all over the world. But it's kind of lonely and it's not as exciting.
You do realize how isolating certain other areas of the world can be. I'm certainly isolated in Los Angeles. And being in New York, I'm like, I'm funnier. Like, I swear, if we taped our podcast there, you think I'm funny now. You wouldn't even want to know what happened in New York. I'd blow up the microphone.
Yeah. It's true that once you're feeling confident, it's like your energy is like out there and people are receptive. Like, when I'm having a good day, my day's like fucking great because people are like, smiling. Yeah. I'm like hugging the guy at Wells Fargo. It's like, you know, I am friends with the parking attendant. Yeah,
well,
it's
the parking attendant.
Yeah,
the parking attendant. Bank teller.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I know him. And it's out there, but when you start to like feel like you kind of close yourself off and then that kind of pushes you, it isolates you more.
For sure.
So like you should get out there and
that's my motivation. That's my message to myself. And you know, I tell people to do this all the time, but I forget sometimes I get into a rut, especially after being, you know, you're exhausted after going traveling for a while. But I find that, you know, I dress up more here because I'm going outside of the house and
You mean in New York?
Oh, sorry. I dress up more in New York. Sorry, right. And I dress up less here. Like I wear my sometimes I go to the gym. I don't shower till the end of the day. Like it's right. disgusting and horrible. And my husband's in the next room and he doesn't even mind. But I'm sure it's turning him off too. But I
that
think
deodorant.
That, yeah,
you're
exactly.
using.
I know that's exactly. But like I think that. A good tip for guys is to be open, but also motivate yourself to get out there and interact with at least 5 to 10 people every single day, because it can help keep your energy levels up. Although we're extroverts, so maybe that's not true for
I'm an introvert, I think, half the time. And then I'm an extrovert when I'm put in the situation.
You're an anomaly.
I am. It's.
How do you get recharged? Are you...
By going to New York. Because all of a sudden, I realize I'm not a... troll in a hole.
Yeah. Like, so you're an extrovert.
No, I don't know. It's weird because I don't want to have these interactions, but once I have them, I'm like, oh, this feels good.
But not everybody is all one thing or all another. If you do the Myers-Briggs test, sometimes you score like a little bit of something, a little bit of something else. So I think you do have both.
Yeah.
So today for the chapter in the man's playbook, I want to talk about being open in your own city.
On this team, we fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch. We claw with our fingernails for that itch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
All right. So what we were talking about before is about, you know, being really open in your own city. And Haley had a good point, although we weren't recording when she said it. But in even in other cities, just being more open in general and things to do to like get you off your butt and be active in activating your own social life.
I think a big part of it is getting out of your car. Like if you're in a city like we are, you're always in your car and you're always by yourself. Or, you know, it's like getting in New York, you're walking around and you're energized by that. So just get the hell out and get on the street.
Right. Because right there you have two things. You have like physical activity that you're not getting when you're sitting in your car because you're moving. So your blood is flowing. And the other thing is you're going to be around people, so you're dressing. Or, you know, you might be clothed a little bit.
You might be clothed.
A little bit.
Hopefully you are.
I don't wear pants when I'm driving. It's like, it's not part of the deal.
But I never care what I look like because I'm going from a car to
a car.
A car to a car to a car. And then, you know, I don't care. So it's caring a little bit because I knew when I was stepping out in New York, I have to spend all day in those the clothing because I can't go all the way back to Brooklyn to the place that I'm staying to like change. So I want to be comfortable in what I'm wearing. So I want to feel good about myself. I want to have my hair and my makeup done. I was physically getting, not fit, but I mean, exercise mile, but you're physically getting something that you don't otherwise. So all of a sudden your brain chemistry changes.
For sure. Yeah. Look at you, your dad's science.
It's true that when you're depressed and by yourself, it's like if I don't work out, like once I get on the, whatever, I don't ever do the treadmill. I don't know why I said that. But once I go outside, I ride my bike actually. Once I do that, suddenly it's like I start feeling like happier. It's definitely connected to my happiness.
100%.
And what are you doing in your personal life to build your swag? Like what? Like what are you? Like for me, my activity. I play volleyball on the weekends.
To build my swag, I don't use the word swag.
Well, no, that's what. But look, confidence, swag, whatever you want to say. Like, look, I play volleyball on the weekends because I'm good at it, and I like crushing people on the court. And for me, it builds this like strong male confidence of I fuck these guys up, and I'm.
Do you know
the
we got a Facebook message that asked. I really like Mo and your podcast, but why does he talk in a crinkly voice sometimes?
Oh, I play voice. I think it's
crinkly.
It's the
what
mic.
Does that mean?
It's the mic.
He'll be like, "Listen, guys,
yes, my man. Let me tell you."
No, okay, that's good. And,
but it's like, what do you do in your personal life that helps you build confidence? And people need to find that. For you women, it was going to New York. Because
for me, it's like laying out. While you play, I lay out in the sun and just look good.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
No, but is it looking tan? You know, is it going out and working out and making your body right? Yeah, you got to put it into it to build that confidence. Because if you're stuck in a rut and you do the and you have no confidence and you do the exact same things over and over and over again, you're never going to get confidence.
Right. Well, actually, I'm reading this book I have it in my hands. It's called The Evolution of Desire. Dr. Drew told me to read it, so I read it.
Anything no big deal.
I do it right away.
He told me to kill someone, so I did it.
Exactly. But it's by David M. Buss. I have no idea. B-U-S-S. It's a really good book. So the book I want to talk about it more in another segment because I think it's really interesting what it's talking about, and I've only read one chapter, so I can't really speak on it that much. But it's talking about
it's been 1 year.
Yeah, exactly. It's all these this one guy did these studies and tests and surveys from people all around the world, just finding about the evolution of desire, looking at it from a biological standpoint, and also like scientific, and then also assessing tons of people from all over the world. But what he was talking about for women and what attracts them. As there's a, an 18 characteristics that they find attractive. But one of them is ambition, and the other one is intelligence. So I think that those things can both turn women on, and then the other 16 characteristics as well, but can also turn you on as a man or a woman, which is really important. I always say you got to turn yourself on first before you can turn anybody else on. And this is my own mistake because I am married, and hopefully, I can remind myself quickly the next time, which we've done a couple of days after getting back from New York, to, not stay in our rut and really push ourselves to turn ourselves on and get involved in things. But a lot of people who are single or maybe who do work from home, they tend to stick to that same routine, not really get out of their house, and then wonder like why they're not meeting people or why they're not even feeling energized to go meet people. So as an assignment, I would say to people, get out of your house at least once a day. For an hour. It's true.
That's more just like surviving.
Yeah, exactly. But a lot of people don't. Like most people just go to work, they come home, they watch TV, that's it. So do something that switches up your routine for an hour a day, every single day. Interact with people, make sure to engage in conversations, and try out the different conversation tools we've given you on this show. Use OSA, create mission statements, and just practice interacting with people. And even having that experience will change your day up for sure, give you things to talk about, and ultimately boost your confidence.
And if you're involved in things that turn your brain on as well, because you can go out of the house, but you're going out and you don't really have any purpose, and you're kind of like, oh, I guess I was told I have to go outside. Doing something that you're passionate about that makes you feel energized, like being in New York for me, like I went and I did comedy, so I was around like all other people who are doing comedy, who are out to see live comedy,
similar passions,
and there's like foot traffic, so you're basically feeling inspired because of the energy around you. So find people that will give you that energy, that will inspire you.
For sure. One negative thing I had happen. No, I love that every time you say something great, you're like, that wasn't very good.
That was weird.
That was cheesy.
One thing I will say about me being in New York was I did get a lot of attention, which is very nice, even when like a homeless man whistled at me. I'm fine with it.
You know you're desperate when you're like, I'll take it.
I will take that attention.
Yeah, I don't get offended either. I'm like,
bring it on. Great. I'm hot. You've woken up from your drunken haze and you've noticed it.
And you're welcome.
Exactly. And I'll walk by you five more times
just
to bring
dollar.
You happiness. No money. They've already gotten enough pleasure.
He was just
from
like blowing into his beer bottle, trying to get more alcohol out of it. It sounded like a whistle to me.
Maybe, but let me keep it for myself as how I remember it. But there were a few men, and this is a no-no. I wrote this on my blog as well. There were a few men who drove by me in white vans and
had other girls in the back.
Pissed.
Wow.
Hissed.
Wait, like,
but then continued staring. The hiss was fine.
Like just a
it's like to get you to look. It's like, okay.
Oh, I thought you were like, boo, hiss.
Oh, that's so weird.
And then they would just like lean. I'm like looking at you the way that, as if they can see me through this microphone, but like literally just stared. And like, maybe they're trying to kidnap me.
Marty just gave me her dead eyes.
That's a
kidnapper.
It was like
dead eyes.
It was very gross and it freaked me out. And it made me very scared.
But it turned your brain on.
It totally did.
You were aware. I had a better, I'm sure you had good experiences, but I had better experiences getting hit on. I got hit on by human beings. No,
awesome.
I did. I went to go get my friend, the friend I was staying with, some coffee and muffins, whatever, as a thank you because I'm so pleasant. And I was waiting to pay, and the guy at the counter was ignoring me. And I'm like, hello, I got to pay. And so finally he turned around. He's like, oh, you're all set. And I was like, confused. I thought maybe because he skipped over a couple people, maybe he forgot about me. I go, why? And he's like, because you're hella beautiful. Which, first of all, thank you. But second of all, don't say hella.
Oh my god!
It's like hella dip, hella good dip.
Oh, I would take that and walk, girl.
Shut up.
It was so much fun, and so for the rest of my day, like I just had a lightness in me.
For sure.
I went to the dog park, and then like there were guys at the dog park with their dogs, and I was like, "Is that your dog?" I just started making conversation because then I felt like, "Oh,
wait, you were talking
to
strangers?"
Yeah,
you were at a dog park.
I mean, I had a gun in my pocket the whole time.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Maybe this can be an exercise for people as well. Like maybe take it upon yourself to brighten up somebody else's day and just say you're hella beautiful.
And look, I'm a big advocate of that, especially if it's at a coffee shop. Say you go to the same coffee shop all the time. If you see a pretty girl in there, most likely you're going to see her again because we're creatures of habit.
Yeah.
I a lot of the times I'd say
Coffee is addictive.
Well, coffee's addictive, but you know, I'd see a girl like you and be like, hey, you're beautiful, and that's it. Drop it. Mm-hmm. My name's Mo. Nice to meet you. Boom. And then just trust that through time you'll probably end up seeing her again. And next time you see her, that conversation's going
to
be ready.
Or just say just to say it without expecting anything. Like, yeah. I throw out compliments to chicks, too. If I, like, love something, I always say it. It's probably to a fault. But it's, like, it makes me feel good to, like, recognize it in them, too. So just say it for the moment, like, for whatever it is.
Yeah. But you know what? I feel like I lost out in that situation because he said, you know, it's on me. And then I felt like, oh, my God, thank you. But I was going to pay with a 10. It was probably going to come to, like, $6. So I was just like, so I tipped him the entire 10. So I'm like, well, I kind of lost out on the transaction, but that's fine. My confidence is not.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. That's
but then you went to a dog park afterwards and talked to people. So basically, you owe
but
him
you
more
definitely
money.
Yeah, I lost $10.
Yeah. You lost $10.
Here's another thing of advice going back to going out to build your confidence. The flip side to that is get rid of the things in your life that take away your confidence, mm-hmm. whether it's a social engagement that you go to where people there make you feel insecure. Whether it's the girl that only texts you when she wants to hook up, whether it's your buddy from high school that you feel loyal to him, but he makes you feel like shit all the time because his life is messed up. Take the time to get rid of those things in your life as well as adopt these new things, and you'll notice that the change will come.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. Yeah,
surround yourself with people who also are – I've read somewhere that if they – okay, how do I articulate this? You surround yourself with people who are making the same income as you naturally. So if you start to kind of look at people who you aspire to be like and you want to be around them, you'll find that you actually are pushing yourself more and being around like-minded people.
For sure.
It doesn't really relate to like...
Birds of a feather, you know? That's what they say. Yeah. Surround yourself with people that build your man sexy. Yeah.
This chapter is about building confidence, like in certain ways that we ourselves have built confidence. I wanted to make one point on top of what Mo said because I think it's fantastic. But I learned this a few years ago, and it's been really helpful for me. Like making statements like someone that makes you feel, I learned, or this is the way that I live my life now, nobody can make me feel anything. It's me who makes me feel a certain way. It's up to me to self-soothe. So if people are not in line with your vision on life or your values or the way that you see the world, and like if you don't butt heads consistently, it's great to keep them in your lives because you can learn from them. It can also make you more confident. But if there are other people who are just like Debbie Downers, negative, the world is against them, and you're not wanting that stuff around you, then yeah, I say either cut them out or just don't spend as much time with them because it could be dragging you down.
It
just
is
like
dragging
constantly
you down.
Battling those people to show them the other way the world works. They're going to learn it on their own. They're not going to learn it from you shoving it down their throat. But I thought that those were amazing points that you made that are really helpful. Thank you. I think that concludes this chapter in the man's playbook. Coming up in the second half, we have a female pickup artist who is not just helping men, but she helps women. That's primarily what she does. Her name is Arden Lee, and we are going to have her on the next segment and have her stick around, hopefully, if she has time to do it, for Analyze This. We'll talk to you in a bit.
Guys, let's face it. We need you to get boners.
Boners.
We don't want to be left alone on this planet. We need you to keep working and working hard.
Full flow?
Full flow. So that means you need to get Enzyte. That's the way millions of men have actually been getting the hard ones.
And millions of babies are being born.
Right. So be careful. But you guys, just one capsule a day. That's all you need. You don't need to eat like 6 or 12, which I tried earlier.
It's like a vitamin.
Just one capsule a day gets you the most powerful peak male performance enhancement that you could ever dream of or have a nightmare of. If you guys are looking for the most powerful erections, this is the way to do it. Try Enzyte. Guys, you always see those commercials for the boner meds, and they're like hiking and biking and rollerblading. It's like, get some hobbies, right? Like, start having sex is what they're trying to say to you. So
but
with
who
Enzyte,
wants a boner when you're hiking?
I don't know. That's why it's weird they put them in the commercials. Yeah. We just want straight up boner meds. We don't need any of the fluff except in the duff. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
What's the duff?
So how are we going to get these boners that we're having trouble with?
Well, Mo, if you call now, you can score a special Enzyte trial pack for the sack and receive a 10-day sample of Ogoplex for the ultimate male experience free with your order. Can you believe it? Just call now for the most powerful erections imaginable with the Enzyte trial pack for the sack. Call 1-800-993-5250. That's 1-800-993-5250. Or go to smilingbob.com. That's smilingbob.com. That's smilingbob.com.
Time to get your boners on, dudes.
Seriously.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease. Free trial requires Vialife enrollment with future auto shipments.
All right. The new comedies of Fox Tuesday are almost here. Thank God. Tuesday, September 17th. Don't miss the premiere of Dads. It's the new comedy from the creators of Family Guy and Ted. Read Seth MacFarlane, also my hero. Let me just say, he is delicious as well as he is intelligent. In this show, Seth Green and Giovanni Ribisi are the best of friends with the worst of dads. And when their dads decide to move in, there's no way out. It's a lot of man sexy in this, as Mo would say, so you guys better tune in. It's the premiere of the new comedy, Dads. Then, right afterwards, you have to get excited about the new Andy Samberg show that critics are calling the best new sitcom of the fall. It's Fox new comedy, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I don't know why I said it like that. It just sounded like more fun. But I love Andy Samberg, and now that he's off SNL, you can catch him on this new comedy. It's the new office comedy about the law without the order. Uh-oh, sounds messy. Andy Samberg and Andre Brower star in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, premiering after Dads this Tuesday, only on Fox.
You're listening to the Ask Women podcast, a Podcast One presentation.
Boys have a penis. Girls have a vagina.
Hey, everyone, welcome back to the Ask Women podcast.
We're like fighting over the airspace, right?
Go for it, honey.
Well, today we have, I say this every single time, a very special guest. Yes, everybody that we talk to is special and wonderful.
Just like your kids.
Yeah, exactly.
But especially today.
Especially today. But like, you wouldn't, if you weren't special, you wouldn't really be on our show. We don't have boring, dull people on here. That would just be a waste of our time.
Except for Mo.
So, exactly. Exactly. What? Why am I picking on Mo now, too? It's not my responsibility.
Come on, it's just
now.
So easy.
It is kind of easy.
It's accidental.
Although, Mo looks like really hot today.
Yeah, something's going on with this physique.
He's like buff. I don't know. The chest looks bigger. He's wearing a hat.
It's just enough stubble. It's not too much, not too little. It's like that little bit.
And it's like manicured. It's like
it's like you can't tell if he would be a terrorist or not. It's like just that line.
Well,
it's like sexy but scary.
I'm going to break into this first. They did a study recently about men with scruff, and they found that men with scruff are the most attractive. They had different pictures. Oh, there's a little puppy over there in the corner that Chris is pointing at and distracting me. Okay, they showed five different pictures of like certain guys at different stages of their hair growth, and they found men with scruff on their face to be like the most sexy of all, guys with beards to be disgusting, and they say that they're slobs, and then guys with clean faces are also nice, but scruff was overall the most attractive.
It's
for
just
women.
Enough
so that's
man.
What it is.
Yeah, it's like just enough man for you, but you know that he's still showering at least.
The
right.
key thing,
looks clean.
The key thing for our guys out there trying to pull this off is manscaping.
Yes.
It shows that you are
clean. I can see your manscaping right now.
You try a little.
No.
You try a little.
The manscaping, it's just like screaming, I said this before, it's like way too much time carving out my facial
hair. Let's be specific about it, though. There are certain types of manscaping that are wrong.
I like manscaping, but when it crosses the border into like gayscaping, then it's no longer attractive.
If you have a pencil beard, you've gone too far.
Exactly.
Manscaping is your pubes, not your face, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I just put it all as one category.
Oh, I thought manscaping was like, right? Is that what you're referring to?
As long as there's maintenance.
This is getting too far down on a tangent. We have a very special guest waiting for us.
As long as there's maintenance, it's fine.
Exactly. Maintenance is essential. No, like, wildness. Anyway, so we have Arden Lee on the phone with us right now. So, I guess I could explain Arden, but I would like for her to explain who she is and what she does. So, Arden, are you there?
I'm here.
Wonderful. Well, tell us and the people who are listening what it is you do, because it is very fascinating.
I'm the author of a book called The New Rules of Attraction, and I'm the founder of the Seduction Sirens Forum for Women. And
For women. That's the interesting part.
That's
for women.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I am a professional pickup artist, and I'm a seduction coach for women, and I teach women how to achieve their romantic goals.
I love it.
Ooh.
Because, you know, we've talked before. I interviewed you like a year ago, and I, you know, work with men, and I'm a part of the pickup artist industry for men. But this is like a whole new spectrum for the pickup artist industry for assisting women in being pickup artists. So what exactly does that mean?
Right. Well, I actually do coach men as well. The thing is that when I entered the field of pickup artistry in about, like, 2007, right around when the VH1 show came out and Neil Strauss's book, The Game, had already been out for a little bit, there wasn't a lot of innovation that I felt was necessary in the field of pickup for men that wasn't already going on and evolving. And I've certainly participated in that in the last 6 years. But what I felt was really necessary and the change that I wanted to make in the world was creating a methodology like pickup that was as practical and applicable of a strategy as for women as pickup is for men. So that's what I spent that time doing. And then I penned my book, The New Rules of Attraction, which is the core of my philosophy. Yeah. And that's what I help women with today.
So some guys would say it's not as hard for women because they have a vagina, so they're automatically in. Do you think is it really tough for certain women? Why are women drawn to this?
Yeah, I mean, I do get that kind of criticism from guys a lot. And frankly, it's just not true at all. This myth that, you know, especially in the pickup community, since men who are pickup artists are looking at women as potential targets, you know, when women come to them for help and say, hey, you know, what do we do to get the kind of guys we want? They're like, well, it's easy. Just go to a bar, look nice, wear makeup, go to the gym, and stand there. Someone will talk to you, you know. And what they don't realize is that we as women, you know, we can be really picky about who we want, and it's just an ineffective way of finding a partner to go out and sit there on a bar stool and wait for the one you want to approach you, because how many guys are going to approach you until you find, you know, one that you find attractive?
Definitely.
I just find it incredibly disempowering. So what I teach is how to walk into a room and look in the room and say, all right, what guy am I attracted to? Oh, there's one. And how am I going to go up to him and approach him in a way that's going to be fun and playful and create excitement between us so that he's going to want to come back and find out more about me and, you know, spend some time with me.
Awesome. So what are some of the things, like the top three things that you tell women to do? And remember that the majority of our audience is men, and there's definitely women who listen. But if you can sort of frame it in a way that can tell guys a way that they can assist these women as well, that would be really helpful.
Sure, absolutely. Well, one of the things that I teach women is to work on your persona, you know, so to craft your identity in your own free time so that the image that you present to the world is congruent with the kind of response that you want to be getting and the kind of people that you want to attract into your life, and also the way that you feel is most authentically expressing your values. So how I can relate to that to guys, I think that's kind of the same thing. You know, guys also have to work on, you know, presenting themselves and doing so in a way that's going to appeal to the kind of women that they want in their life. And I think in this particular tip, women may even be a little bit further than guys naturally in the game anyway, because women are so used to appealing to fantasy. It's kind of almost been built into culture for us because there are so many archetypes out there that women can choose from to bring that mantle upon themselves and appeal to a fantasy archetype that they know that men are already programmed to like, because there's so many of them in pop culture and in the media. And men don't do this quite as much. They're much more likely to play things safely and kind of, you know, go out to a bar and say, well, I'm just going to wear khakis with a button down because that seems to be what everyone else is wearing. And without, you know, maybe going out on a limb and expressing themselves in a way that's a little bit more personal and more authentic. So another thing that I teach women, I teach them how to hold themselves and carry themselves and what kind of body language to express in order to signal that they want to be approached. So, for example, if I'm going out to a bar and I want to signal that I want to be approached by guys, I'm going to make sure that when I'm sitting at the bar, for example, that I'm not turned toward the bar or, like, buried in conversation with my best friend. I'm going to face outward to signal that I'm open to those guys who are, you know, walking around the room approaching me. I keep my arms and my collarbone bare, if possible, you know, weather permitting. I do live in New York, after all.
Right,
so
exactly.
Sometimes.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you for one second, because that's a really interesting point, because you're advising women on how to be open, right? So you are noticing that a lot of women who do want to be approached are closed off, which is a really good note for guys that just because a woman has her arms, you know, crossed over her chest, or she's looking down, or she has, you know, her headphones on, doesn't mean she doesn't want to be approached. She just not, may not have taken your classes yet to know to be open, right?
That's very possible, but I would also advise guys to look around the room and look for those girls who clearly are signaling that they want to be approached, because if I were a guy and I'm looking for a potential partner, I think I would want the one who is going to be most self-aware and you know, conducting themselves accordingly.
Well, for sure.
Besides body language, Arden, what else can guys notice from a woman that would signal to them that they could go approach her?
Well, there are definitely a lot of other body language things that I haven't mentioned yet. For example, definitely if you see a woman who's displaying her neck to you, so, you know, you can see that kind of like in the hair flip. You know, a lot of women like play with their hair, and they'll kind of expose the side of their neck and tilt their head to the side. And what that signals is, on a very animalistic level, it says, I'm friendly, you can come and approach me, I'm not going to pose a threat to you. So I would definitely look for things like that. And beyond that, you know, for women who are signaling that they want to be approached, like, you know, look for the woman whose eyes are kind of looking around the room. Because chances are, you know, maybe she's bored with her friends, or, you know, maybe she's just up for some excitement or whatever. But
she's just preparing
around,
for the closest
kind of
exit.
That, yeah, exactly. That she kind of wants something else to happen. So she might be actually, you know, pretty happy if someone comes up and approaches her.
Well, I think we've had this debate a little bit. What's your take on what's the difference between when a girl's being friendly and when she's flirting? How do you discern between the two?
What I do personally, and what I advocate women to do that I teach, is when I'm flirting with someone, there are going to be signals that I put forth with touch. In the pickup community, we call kino escalation. They're going to be very different from something if I'm, you know, engaging with someone just on a platonic level. So I might reach out and touch the guy's hand. I might reach out and touch his arm. I might kind of let our knees brush together. I'm definitely going to, you know, touch my hair and, like I said, kind of tilt my head and let that side of my neck show. If I'm engaging with someone and I'm only interested in being friends, I'm probably going to square off a little more. I'm going to assume a bit more of a masculine posture, and I'm going to do kind of like buddy-buddy gestures, you know, like I'm going to fist bump instead of, you know, like placing my palm on his hand, for example. You know, that's
right.
Something that's
what do you say?
Enthusiasm and showing engagement, but still closing off enough.
What do you say if you're dealing with someone like me, for example, who's very awkward with flirting, and fist bumping is as close as I get is to the knee rub? How would a guy know then? You know, it's like I don't have the same, I think, motions that other women do. Is that something that I would just have to learn to do?
Most guys who are in the field of pickup would then compliance test with you. And what that means is they might initiate a gesture themselves in order to see how you react to it.
Right.
If you kind of cringe away, you know, if you don't return their gesture, then they're going to know, okay, maybe she's not all that interested. But if you say, like, let's say they put up their hands to give you a high five, right? If you put up your hand and you just keep your fingers straight and it kind of just matches the high five like a mirror, they might be like, okay, she's not really interested in me. But if you bend your fingers and kind of clutch the other person's hand, that's a sign that you want to be touched more in general. So,
what if you just always want to be touched?
Go ahead and touch more.
I hug everybody, so it's kind of my problem, I guess.
But let me ask you a question. Do you recommend to your ladies to sleep with a man on the first night? And do you find a lot of women out there are doing that?
It really depends on what your goal is, you know. I think, you know, I come from a sex-positive culture, and if two consenting adults want to have sex on any given night, I'm all in favor of that. However, at the same time, if a woman's going to be invested in something on a relationship level, then what I advise her is to look for signs of non-sexual investment before she has sex with the guy that she's dating. Because if a guy is with you and you sense that he's just kind of running generic moves that would work on anyone, if they're not about you and your likes and dislikes specifically, then he's probably not terribly invested in anything that's just past sex. And that's fine if that's all that you want. But if you're looking for something that's going to go a little bit further, you make him invest and you make him show that he's paying attention to who you are, paying attention to the things that you like. And, you know, the things that I say to test for example, are like, if a guy like clips out an article in a magazine and says, oh, hey, I saw this and it reminded me of you, or I burned you this CD because you said you liked that band and this band kind of reminds me of them, or, you know, maybe sends you an, you know, a link on the internet and says, oh, hey, you remember you were talking about this thing the other night? Isn't this interesting? Stuff like that is what you want to look for.
That's cool, because he has an investment in you. That's cool.
Yeah. I love how you said sex positive.
Yeah, there's so many.
I know. I just thought of sex positive.
I just thought of STD positive as soon as you said that. I'm all
about
that.
Sounds like a dirty community. Just kidding. No, these are fantastic answers. So thank you for giving us your information and knowledge for both men and for women, because I think that both sides can actually.
Sure, it's my pleasure.
Yeah.
And, well, and real quick, what are you doing in, say, the online community? In coaching your ladies on how to approach men on, say, a social network site that is dating friendly?
I advocate finding a lot of new partners by using your weak ties. So things like Twitter, for example. I'm not a huge proponent of online dating myself, although it's certainly something that I, you know, that I look into to educate my clients about, because I know that a lot of them want to engage in that world. For me, there are a couple reasons why it doesn't really work, and most of it has to do with the fact that when I go on an online date with someone, they have this period where they sort of take it for granted, like, hey, I'm single, you're single, let's hook up. And to me, that doesn't really work out for me. There's not enough plausible deniability there. I don't like having someone assume that I'm single and looking the minute that I go on a date with them. So I prefer to use sites that are a little more, you know, just general social media and not specific to online dating, things like Twitter, things like Facebook, for example. I've asked out guys on Twitter that I've never met before in real life because I know that we have friends in common, because I can see maybe one of my friends retweeted them or mentioned them, or they're somehow, you know, coming up on my timeline in my network, and I check what mutual friends we have in common. I'm like, okay, this person, like, if he's friends with, you know, these five people that I know, then he's probably pretty cool. And then I just straight up ask them out, and I've been pretty blatant about that before, and it's gotten me some pretty good results. And the nice thing about Twitter as well is that they can look through my timeline, and, you know, I have a link to my blog on there, and I have my photo, and I say that, you know, hey, I wrote this book, The New Rules of Attraction. I'm the founder of the Siren Seduction Forum for Women. And, you know, I'm the front woman of my band, Arden and the Wolves. So they can kind of, you know, say, oh, here's someone who has, like, some stuff going on. Is this something that I find appealing, yes or no? And then they can write back. So, yeah, ask out people who get retweeted. I hear it all the time.
Those are the only people I go out with.
Not retweeted, I'm not into you. Do you find that...
I have entire relationships come out of Twitter sometimes.
That's,
you know?
Awesome. We've been meeting so many people who have, like, relationships from Instagram, from Facebook, never one from Twitter, but this is actually really interesting, because most of the time I'm really frustrated. I'm like, how the hell does Twitter work?
I know someone who just married someone they met off Twitter.
No way. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
So interesting.
It makes sense with the mutual friends thing. It's like a great vetting process, though, typically.
I guess that's
true.
It's the
weird
way of doing your research.
Also, you can see if someone's annoying just based off of if they're only retweeting and not
and what they're saying
their own opinion at all. You know?
That's very true. Or if they have too much time on their hands. Right. One more question for you. Do you find that it's intimidating to men, some of the things that you are teaching women?
You mean when they're dating me personally?
Well, you and for some of the women, because I know, like, I actually know what it is that you're teaching women. I think it's fantastic and wonderful. But with a lot of the, you know, empowerment information that's out there, a lot of women are concerned about making the first move or approaching or asking a guy on a date. And a lot of men have answered that they would be sort of put off by it or turned off by it. Do you find that that's pretty common for you or for the woman that you're working with?
No, not at all. Most guys, when you make the first move, if they're interested in you, if they were going to be interested in you anyway, if they find you attractive, they're totally stoked that you took some of the work off of their shoulders. And I have had, you know, I've had only two reactions to me asking out a guy in the first place. And one is like, wow, that's awesome. Yes. Or, no, you know, thanks. I'm really not interested or whatever. And they wouldn't have been interested in me anyway. So it's good that I went and asked them out and got that out of the way and found out. So I wasn't like sitting around waiting for them thinking, oh, maybe they just haven't noticed me enough. Maybe they're going to ask me out one day. In terms of me personally, however, you know, most women that I teach, obviously this isn't their entire lifestyle. They're just looking to improve their romantic prospects and be a better date, be a better lover, and get more dates. For someone like me, of course, you know, all of my work is out there on the internet. You know, right. I have my blog and I have my website, and I'm very outspoken about what I do. And the way that I've kind of reconciled this is that if there's any man out there who finds that intimidating and doesn't want to date me,
he's then not for you.
I've just filtered him out of my dating pool. And it's a good thing that, you know, like, he was clearly not right for me. And so for me, pickup filters out the week.
Perfect. No, it's empowering, makes sense. Too. It totally is. Oh, well, Arden, thank you so much for being on with us. I know that you have to go, or do you,
no,
are you,
no,
oh,
I think
you're able to stick
around.
She's
going
to
stick around and answer some questions with
oh,
us.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, I forgot. Totally. So, sorry. So what we do is we have this segment called Analyze This. So people send us in their questions, their concerns, their email interactions that they're having with women, and we basically break it down for them and tell them, you know, what's going on from a woman's point of view. So you're available to stick around for this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. All right. So welcome to Analyze This. I know. We need some music for it. All right. So the first thing that we have is actually, it's a profile that I showed you guys before. So Arden's not really going to be able to assist with this one, but maybe give some insight about cool. profiles as well. I'm not going to read the whole profile, but we all looked at it. We looked at the pictures, and I'll read the first paragraph from this profile. So I'm a Southern gentleman looking for someone to get excited about. I want to meet and end up with my best friend. Laughing often, constant learning, and family are important to me. Fitness and serving others are also are important as well. And eating delicious food is extremely important. It's important to all of us, which is another reason that working out is important.
He lost me at Southern gentleman.
Did he?
No, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, me personally. But.
Okay, so then it goes on for a little bit longer, and I'm actually going to post this up online. I will not give any information as to whose profile this is so that everybody else can see the profile that we're commenting on. So I'll put it on wingirlmethod.com/profile. I'll put it up there. But so you guys got a chance to look at the pictures and look at the profile and wanted to know what you thought of it.
Well, I mean, we read through it, and it all looked pretty good. But I think it looked pretty good on an expected level.
Yeah,
there was no real surprise.
Level.
Yeah, there
I
were
agree.
No real surprises, or I don't think there's anything that original about it. He looked like a really nice guy, and it wasn't like his profile would scare me off and like I would now hide in a basement from him, but I wouldn't certainly like climb out of the basement if I was hidden down there for him. You know what I mean?
So if you were reading this, like what would you feel or think?
I mean, what I would say about what you guys have read out loud to me so far is that all of it is incredibly generic. And the only thing that I really take away from really finding something about his values is where he mentions family, because, you know, I'm someone who probably doesn't want kids, so that would tell me, okay, this is maybe not the guy for me, which is fine, because, of course, you know, the woman who does want kids, you know, might want to message that guy. But everything else, it's kind of like, who doesn't like fitness and who doesn't like food? And, you know, everything else is pretty standard. And, you know, the advice I give to my clients who are putting up online dating profiles is, you know, if you put everything out about yourself that's kind of average and you make yourself look like a five, you know, like, yeah, you're not going to get a lot of messages from people who are overly excited about you. If, on the other hand, you put out all your quirks and all the things that are really interesting and make you unique and different, then there might be some people out there who think you're a two, but there might be people out who think that you're a 10. And you're going to get messages from those people, and they're going to be more enthusiastic about you, and there's going to be fewer surprises down the line. So
I totally agree with you.
People need to realize that generalizations only cause like a broad feeling for people, whereas specifics actually cause emotion.
Like Mo is so specific that like I hate him. You know what I mean? It's just like he's so specific that I can have that emotion toward him.
But it's a real emotion. Though.
Real.
For sure. It's a
real
one.
And that's why I do it.
You feel it in your belly. Okay, this is my feedback on it. Like, not that it's okay to be generic, but you can turn something as generic and boring as I like eating into something interesting by adding your take on why you like eating and why it's important to you. Because I find a lot of men do this. They speak in statements. I had this coaching call the other day, which literally wanted me to make, like, made me want to pull out my hair, because I would, you know, ask a guy a question. He's there for a consult with me, so he's supposed to elaborate and tell me what's going on with him. And he would give me like one sentence answers, like the most bland generic answers, without providing the why behind why he's making these statements. And I found myself getting more and more frustrated, which is how I feel when I read these types of profiles, because eating is interesting. laughing is interesting. But like the why behind why you like those things, that's where it's individualized. And that's what I'm drawn to in profiles. And I would say from this profile, I've read the whole thing. I looked at the pictures. I'm not sure who he's trying to attract, but he's 34 years old. I'm guessing he's trying to attract women who are like 25 to 32 or something. And I would say that this isn't exciting enough of a profile. It's exactly what you're saying before.
What if you said, I'm a guy who opens up a door for a woman because that's the way my mother raised me. I'm a man who likes to enjoy
a
great steak, a bottle of wine, and great conversation with friends.
Still a little generic.
Is that a little? I feel like that's a little
that's
more
better than what he has.
Better than what he has. More specific.
Yeah. That's like a step up, but you want to go probably about 7 or 8 more steps from there.
No,
Seinfeld,
me personally,
let me hear what you have to say.
I mean, like, yeah, of course you enjoy steak because you're not a maybe talk about why you're not a vegetarian and why you enjoy steak and why you don't like vegetarians or something like that has a little bit more edge or personality. It's like, of course you like steak. Ooh.
And also, I feel like his profile is a little too
long.
Yeah, it's too long.
Yeah.
You guys. It is a little bit long. Like, don't show all your cards at once. I think he kind of needs to keep, a few things to himself. We don't want to hear about every part of your life.
It's
just
a profile,
the interesting stuff.
Not a con file.
Yeah.
So just kind of keep it, brevity is important.
What do you think about his pictures? Which I actually won't post these online unless he gives me permission to do so.
I just saw that one of him like smiling, like, kind of like his head.
Ugh, I love that one of him in a chair, leaning back, looking off to the side. So they did this study on OkCupid that talks about like profile pictures for men and profile pictures for women. So the ones that women are more attracted to are when men are looking off slightly to the side with a little bit of a smirk. Men who smile front on, women find cheesy and unattractive and needy. But if you're looking off to the left or right or to the side, it's actually more appealing because it means you're looking.
Because it looks like a Calvin
things.
Klein ad.
Okay,
or what?
Wait, it does. He looks like a Calvin Klein ad.
So what, we're into that.
You just asked about Seinfeld. Okay, this is a perfect example. There's an episode where George has to call this woman, but he doesn't want to seem too needy, so he eats an apple when he's on the phone with her, and it's because it makes him seem like he has other things going on.
Yeah,
and I've totally lived by that. So it's the same. It's like if you're looking to the side, it's like you're looking at something maybe more interesting than getting your picture taken.
I love it. Oh, wait, did you see that thing? I think I saw it on Twitter. This guy successfully used 41 Seinfeld quotes in a news anchor. And is that even how you say it? A news anchor?
In
the story. He used 40 or 41 references from Seinfeld.
That must have been a news story about nothing.
There you go.
The show's about
find your future husband
Seriously. Okay, so let's get on to the next question. Hey, ladies and Mo, I think the show is phenomenal and highly relatable. Thank you so much for doing what you do. I have a terrible problem with texting back far too quickly. I find myself to be highly attentive and constantly wanting to talk. However, listening to your previous episodes, especially the bad guy one, I keep thinking that maybe I'm wrong and maybe I should just chill out. But have you ever wondered how many relationships were lost simply because what was not said, all because the other person was trying to be cool?
No.
I understand you shouldn't try to be bothersome, but I don't want to appear to be distant. I guess another thing I constantly struggle with is you should try to be an individual. Being yourself is always a turn on. I can see that. But what if being yourself is being the highly attentive person who texts back
away. Which is the turn off. Yourself is being the turn off.
Sincerely, the nice guy.
I think a big thing to notice is that you can start with text, but be confident enough that your relationship can carry on in a real world. Like, you can start it there, but let it, set up the date and then take it, your conversation somewhere else.
Yeah, I think there's other ways to show you're highly attentive.
Yeah.
Like, whatever,
like
making
in
person.
Talks.
Right, in person. It doesn't mean responding super fast because there's so many other examples of being attentive.
Sure.
So don't try to focus it all in that one place.
Arden, what do you think?
I think as far as text game goes, there's two different ways of showing value and in the speed with which you text back. And one of those is to, to be busy and have a life and go out and do a lot of things so you're not by your phone all the time. And if you have a certain lifestyle, that's definitely going to happen. If you're a DJ and you're, DJing from midnight to 4 every night, then you're not going to be able to pick up your phone all the time because you're going to be busy, on the decks. On the other hand, if you have a different kind of busy lifestyle where you're by your phone all the time because that's where you do your primary work. So, like, for me, for example, I'm glued to my phone constantly because I have clients who email me, people who text me about appointments, you know, things like that. And so I tend to text back right away. I don't spend a whole ton of time crafting my replies, and I tend to be pretty, you know, like, okay, are we making plans? Okay, great, let's meet here, let's do this, you know, and, you know, kind of get the ball rolling pretty quickly. But I don't feel that texting back quickly causes me to lose any value because it's just part of my flow. It's right. part of my lifestyle. And people get that it's not about them. It's just about the fact that I'm a person who communicates a lot, and I have to because of my job and my lifestyle.
Absolutely. Great answer. Well, actually, so I tell guys, I have like some rules. Basically, if you are responding back right away because you're either fearful that the attraction will fade, you're nervous of losing her to some other guy, anything that feeds into like an anxiety and that's the reason why you're texting back, I say don't do it. There's no point because that's a needy text back. You're just trying to not be forgotten. So I actually had this one client, I've talked about this before, but he was dating lots of women and he was wondering why he wasn't getting that second date. So we broke it down and figured out that he was actually texting these women back from a very needy space. So I told him that whenever he wants to like text back immediately, he should text me instead. And so what he ended up doing, which I actually think is a great idea, is whenever a woman would text him that he was interested in, he would literally throw his phone behind the couch and then like take time to go, you know, scurry behind the couch and get it, which actually gave him a moment of pause to think, do I actually really want to write back to her right now? Am I busy with my lifestyle? Do I have other things to do? As opposed to doing it from that needy place, which is what I would tell nice guy as well. That's
my advice. Hopefully he doesn't have an iPhone. He's going to break his iPhone.
I tell nice guy to put the phone away, go in the bathroom, jerk off, and then text from that space that you're in after you've done jerking off and you're no longer looking for anything to fill in.
Mo, you can't taint nice guys, so stay in your corner of your filth.
Okay, well, some good advice for nice guy. This is what I do. Look,
that was bad advice.
That was man advice, but... But what I do is if she is constantly texting you back right away and you got a really good banter going, then roll with it. You know, text her back right away and always look for an out, right? Always kind of get out on top in the text. Like leave it on your terms.
It's called the upper hand.
Yeah, get the upper hand in it.
I'm obsessed with having the upper hand. So if you ever wanted to date me before, like lose interest now.
Yeah, but look, if it's a girl that's taking a while to get back to you, well, it obviously shows you where you kind of land on her list of priorities. Then do the same. You know, don't ever send her like 3 texts in a row because she hasn't responded to you.
But like Arden was saying, though, at the same time, if that's what you do and that's your flow because that's the way you function on your phone, then don't avoid it. Be confident that it will work either way.
Absolutely. As long
but don't
as
take too much time to craft it, yeah.
I think also a text that comes from a needy place, you can tell, you know, it's almost like they can smell it on you. It's like sharks and blood in the water, you know? Like,
absolutely.
It's not so much about the pace of your texting. It's about the feel that's behind it. And also, I always say to myself, you know, I still to this day, I get nervous texting guys, you know, depending on the guy, depending on what I'm texting about, I definitely get the jitters. And so if someone texts me and it gives me that pit in the stomach feeling, I always wait a good 10 to 15 minutes before I reply just because that's going to affect how I say what I say back. And chances are if I say the first thing that comes to my head, as much as I want to like continue that conversation, it's not going to be as good or as chill of a reply if I wait 10 minutes and think about it.
Yeah, it's the knee-jerk reaction. Like the benefit of texting is that you have time to actually think and process your responses. So take some time. I want to get on to the next question because I think we beat a dead horse here. So, okay, the next question is, do all of you think that European women... can't even speak right now. That European women.
We're so elegant, just like the European women.
Should I say it in a British accent the rest of the time? That European women are more open to sex compared to American women and North American
women. God, I love that.
Oh, really? Not to leave out Canadian women. Thank you for including me. I really appreciate that. I ask this because I live over here in Germany as an American working for the Air Force, and I see in my experience that European women as a whole are more sexually open centrally, better eye contact, say hello to strangers more, dress sexier, and even have a warmth.
I am so surprised. I'm not surprised at the question about the European women, but I am surprised that this is coming from a man who's living in Germany. Because I don't picture women in Germany to be like super like soft and loving.
No, neither do I.
Give me your Wiener Schnitzel now in my mouth.
No.
I Googled a little bit. For me, I know that when I am, you know, away in Europe, I think that people are more open. But anytime I'm away, as we were talking about in the beginning portion of the show, like, I'm more open, so people are more open to me. Like, when I went to go visit my sister in London, and I was saying to her boyfriend, you know, oh, my God, everyone's so open over here. I love it. He was, like, shocked. He's like, British people are the rudest people in the entire world. And I was like, no, they're not. They're absolutely amazing. I find that, yes, European women are more open. And when I did Google, a lot of the reasons that they were saying American women are not as open is because they drink beer and they take lots of medication.
It's a cultural thing. If you look at it over there, they're a little more open. If you look at in their ads, right, their TV ads have nudity in them.
Yeah.
Nude beaches are acceptable over there.
And they're all going to hell.
And they're a little more open. They're definitely more open with their sexuality. Women's rights here is such a huge thing in the United States, mm-hmm. where women are very much empowered, like to the point, you know, close to what
we need
men
to be
pushed empowered.
Down a little bit to get back into our feminine ways.
I'm just saying,
in
a lot of foreign countries, women are not as empowered as they are, not even nearly as they are empowered here. And because of that, women take on more of a female nurturing role. Because that's really their main role in society.
I don't know if it's trying to say that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's about empowerment.
Women's avoidance of sex in the U.S. is the problem of feminism.
Yeah, I agree. I think there feel more empowered. Therefore, it's like a societal thing where they're like can be
not,
naked more often.
It's
and
not
more
in terms of sexuality.
Yeah, no,
I'm talking.
In the U.S., we have such a culture of slut shaming. You know, there's so much that goes on. Like even opening up the internet, just looking at my Twitter timeline in the last couple days, you know, seeing that mom who wrote to an open letter to her son's 14-year-old friend saying, you know, stop taking, you know, duck face selfies because, you know, you're causing boys to think impure thoughts or whatever it is. Like, it's just so ingrained into our culture. And what I've noticed with women is that, yeah, you know, sometimes they don't want to admit necessarily to their own desires because they're afraid of how it's going to make them come off, you know, and that's why I think my work is so important, because I get to say, no, you absolutely get to pursue what you want, and you get to choose and say, you know, I do want this, and I don't want that, and, you know, and be confident and not feel any shame in that.
Sure. I love that, Arden.
I feel like there's not enough shame.
Look, for the record, I wasn't trying to say that it was coming from a sexual point. It's coming from a nurturing point. Women in the United States have a problem, and I think it's treating men and nurturing men kind of how a mother is supposed to. I don't see that nowadays,
because
every woman is like career oriented and their career, a lot of them takes precedent over family. Whereas, you know, 50 years ago,
like
it wasn't
like
that.
I feel like I'm smelling a whole episode here
that
we can talk about.
Are you saying that men require more caretaking than women?
No, it's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, look, if you go back to the most primal state of who we are as beings, men are hunter-gatherers, women are nurturers, and that's kind of how this society and human civilization has ran for the last couple thousand years, and it's changed today. It's no longer that way.
So here is another question. Okay, big fan of the show. In the most recent episode, you touched on something called pretty boy syndrome. Judging by the brief description you gave, I think I may be suffering from it. I'm only 20 years old, but my whole life I've been labeled as a pretty boy. Aww. And I've received a lot of superficial interest from females. At 20, that's all you want is superficial interest from females.
I know.
I have
Even
done
at
my,
40.
Yeah, exactly. I have done my best to never let it go to my head. And I think as a result, I'm a pretty well-rounded person. It's more that trust, commitment, an issue that you guys referenced. That's my problem. I have only had two relationships in my life, and both were very short. Of course, you're 20. I know I am young, but I don't want this to become a major problem for me in the future. I was wondering if you could give me a little more background on this symptom. I've created a symptom. And maybe some things I could do to work on improving it and having more healthy relationships in the future. Again, thank you for all your hard work on the podcast, Dave. Honestly,
all right. Starting
out,
you sound
wonderful. You don't sound.
Yeah, he sounds sweet, and I like that he's planning for his future.
Exactly.
But stop planning so much for like your like physical future, and start planning on your educational future. This is an ad from brought to you by
from the Phoenix or as I
Phoenix Online. Yeah. No, you go to us, you'll fail miserably.
Well, let me give some background on pretty boy syndrome. So I was saying that a lot of guys who were super good looking or super popular or super pretty when they're younger don't really have to work on developing their personalities so that later in life, you know, when all of the ugly guys who suddenly blossom and become like successful and good looking as well, or they've developed a personality to match those looks.
They at least found some cool glasses.
Right, exactly. So, and their style. So, but they have like a personality so that their looks don't really matter that much. And so the pretty people end up like just being these duds who have nothing to say. That's what pretty boy syndrome is. That's, you know, what we
that
referenced.
Gives nerds such vengeance though. Don't even give him advice because we want them to fail. The people from like us from high school, we want you to fail. So.
Like, oh, like we're, you weren't not, a pretty girl in high school.
I wasn't. Oh my God.
Really?
Oh no. I was awful looking.
Really?
Shut up. I swear to God. I had like short, thick, frizzy hair. Like, I mean, my hair was unmanageable. I had a crossed eye when I was little.
No. You had a lazy eye?
Yeah.
You gotta put this up on Twitter.
I still have a lazy eye, but it's corrected like temporarily, like until I go to sleep at night. I'm not even kidding.
Until you go to sleep at night?
Yeah, when I take out my contacts, my eye eventually will go back in. So like,
it slowly fades back to lazy?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I have to say
no way, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's
okay,
horrible.
So yes, you
so
want
I want him to fail.
So don't
course.
Answer? Is that what you're telling me to do? Right, don't give a response?
My
okay,
question,
so Dave, you get no answer.
My question for Dave is, do you have girlfriends that you're not hooking up with? Like, can you be friends? Because, look, man, if you're a good-looking guy and girls are already sexually attracted to you, you got a leg up. Now, where you're having a problem is it looks like women can't be friends with you or women that you're dating can't be friends with you. Because, A, if you could be friends with a girl that is sexually attracted to you, she's going to want to lock you down. Mm-hmm. That's just what it is. So my recommendation is go out and have girlfriends that are just friends. You know, be comfortable being friends with girls, talking to girls,
so what does
opening
that mean?
Up
well,
to girls.
So like opening up, like what does that mean? So he wants a specific skill set that he's looking for and how to, and basically how to develop a personality.
Yeah.
So what are the essentials of developing a personality? How
is that
do
what
you
he's
do
asking?
That? He's asking, like, how do I not just be this pretty boy? How do I have something more of substance?
Well, he said he was didn't let it go to his head, so he thinks he's done pretty well. So I don't know if he's lacking personality or just lacking the ability to show personality. I think number one is to have your thing, to have a thing. This is your thing. Like, you're known as this guy. Like, oh, this is the guy who's obsessed with reading about space or whatever. Like, be the space. Guy. Be the guy with something. Like, you know, have animal facts or something.
Yeah, no, but, have more interest. Be intelligent. There's way more to a person. In fact, like, you know, I talked about before, I'm reading this book called The Evolution of Desire, which talks about, like, the spectrum of characteristics that women are attracted to. And, you know, I don't even think that looks are in here as an option, to be
passion.
Honest. Yeah, but it is. It's like, it's dependability, it's loyalty, it's commitment, it's intelligence. Like, all of those things are other factors of your personality and characteristics that you can easily attain if you show an interest in obtaining them. But, like, for a lot of people, because they are pretty, sometimes they either don't think they have to get anything else or that they're only about that. So they veer away from those things and really focus on their strong suit, which ends up biting them in the ass for relationships.
Yeah, and I think there's also that insecurity that people won't believe them that they have a personality. Or
and
something.
I think that's what the problem here. I think there's an insecurity with it, with his emotions or with
like,
showing
I know
his
Mo
emotions
has a super personality because he's really ugly.
Listen,
no,
you're
he looks
minx.
Hot today.
No, he does look good.
Well, here's the thing. I never really grew up the best looking cat out of my bunch.
No way.
I swear, I grew up with some cats that are some good looking dudes. But I always
wonderful
had,
acting, Marnie.
I'm a whoopee girl. No, but I had the best personality out of my friends. And I really, and I have a lot of girlfriends that are my friends because of it. That, you
so
know,
what
I
did
ended,
you do to work for that? Like, what did you do
I, you
to
know,
gain this personality?
Here's my thing. When you realize one woman, you realize all women. So I had a lot of girlfriends that were friends. Because I knew if I could feel comfortable around them and connect to them in a non-sexual way, it'll be really easy for me to get to the girls that I'm
That's
interested
so
in.
That's so true.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, a man surrounded by women is going to get women. You
but
know?
What helped you connect to them? So, like, I want to get a better understanding for Dave.
You know, for Dave, he needs to
realize. He handcuffed himself to him.
Dave needs to realize that there's a man and woman can coexist beyond just having sex. Because it seems like that's all that's happening here. It's like girls just talk to him because he's good looking. And they want to hook up. He needs to like find a connection with another woman.
Does that mean asking questions of her?
That means asking questions of her. Like, find a girl that you're not going to bang, Dave, and become friends with her. Let her kind of give you some advice too on the women world. But like, see how women think. Go hang out with women. Do activities with women. You know, don't always just be with your dudes and then banging a girl.
I'm so glad Dave doesn't have like a hot name like Peyton. You know, or something like that. Like, I'm glad his name is, like, semi-average so that
like
it doesn't add to... Yeah, it's like it's Dave. Like, because Dave could be cool or Dave could not be cool.
I think that Dave, you and your average name with your pretty face, I think you need to be curious, you know? It's like going that. Out there and just, to me, like curiosity is the sexiest thing. You don't even have to have like your one thing. Like we all have tons of things that we're into, you know? Just be curious. And like Mo said, like find some girls that you're not going to bang and go get curious.
I like that, being curious. But even like asking women questions that aren't like in a superficial realm. I mean, like, so yeah. What are you in? That's like such a bland, boring question. But asking more questions about women and actually showing an interest and understanding than sharing information about you. Like intelligence and interest and passion are always attractive to women. There's nothing wrong if you're turning women on with things other than your looks. But be more about your looks. That's basically all it is have other interests outside of your looks, create curiosity and be curious and interest in the people.
And don't be afraid to be ugly and have faults. I think sometimes when you're a good looking person, you're afraid to put yourself in that vulnerable position to be vulnerable. So don't be afraid to be vulnerable. And also, don't brush your teeth.
Exactly. Good points, Kristen.
Thank you.
Good points. All right, next question. What?
And this is something that will come with age, too, that he has to understand.
Yes, exactly. You're 20 years old, right. So you have plenty of time
if
to
I
get
was
ugly.
20 years old.
Lose your looks and focus on your personality.
I would be plugging away. I would get to...
You would be hair plugging
I'd get to
away.
100 feathers as soon as possible.
You said hair plugged away at 20.
She wanted to make sure you heard it the first time.
Whoa. I don't even know what that means. When I'm talking to a woman I know is not available, I am the most charming, the most snarky, and the funniest person I can be. But when I know the woman is single, not seeing anybody, I become tongue-tied, a little nervous, and nowhere near as charming as I can be. Is there a secret to getting out of my head? A female friend told me to just pretend that I don't stand a chance with these women, but that's definitely easier said than done. Any suggestions from you lovely ladies? And the very articulate Mo. See, other people recognize.
He is charming and witty.
Wow. Steve in Colorado Springs. So, Steve.
Colorado!
Steve, sorry. I totally relate to this because living in the Hollywood, Los Angeles area, there's people all around that can, you know, get you places or influence things. And when I'm around those people, I have no personality. That's why I have an amazing personality with Mo. But I've suffered that for a really long time, and I would love your help, Marnie, too.
I agree. No, it's so much easier to be, like, super freaking charming when you don't have anything at stake. I think it's that risk of, like, losing something that's super terrifying. So then suddenly it's like you start doubting yourself.
It's pressure.
Yeah. Well, a couple of tactics that I use, because I've actually gotten better at this recently, is that it's okay to want something from somebody that you're talking to, whether you want to get in their pants or you want to get a job from them and have them put you on television or whatever it is that you want. I like announcing the elephant in the room. That's one of the tactics that I use. If I'm nervous and I'm trying to suppress it and not show it to somebody, it gets way worse for me because it's all I can focus on. I'm like, don't think about this or don't think about that. And so I tried to either announce the elephant and just say like, oh my God, I'm so nervous talking to you. You're the guy who did this or whatever. Like you're super hot. Like I can't even concentrate on what you're saying. Getting it out there really gets me to calm down.
Yeah. And it makes the other person comfortable as well.
Absolutely. Something else that I like doing is using OSA, which we've talked about several times. It's literally making an observation, sharing something about my world. So then again, I'm not sort of intruding the way that many men do when they approach women, like probing and asking for questions. I give them a little peek into my personality and to my lifestyle, which gets me to calm down, gets me to think in my world rather than trying to think in their world, and really calm myself down. And a third tactic that I use, it's called the Barbara Streisand tactic, and hopefully she doesn't sue me for using this, but I use this all the time, and I've used this a lot when I was younger. So I have like three songs that make me smile and cheer me up, and I have different ones all the time. And recently it was the Robin Thicke song until I realized he is a horrible man.
Dirty whore.
But still, I love that song. So I will sing those songs in my head. And that gets me to smile and loosen up a little bit. So I have three songs that I can pull from really quickly that I know puts a smile on my face, gets me like bouncing a little bit, and gets me away from thinking about, oh my God, they're going to totally call me out for being a fake. Wanting something from them.
And to give the other perspective as well, I had this experience recently when in New York, and we talked about New York a little bit at the beginning of the show, but I was at this event space and there were people there that were really intimidating to me, and all I wanted to do was leave. I literally wanted to leave because I didn't know what to say. I was tongue-tied. I felt not cool enough. So as I was leaving, the owner pulled me back in and was like, where are you going? And like, hang out with us. And all of a sudden I realized I'm on the same level as them. Yeah. They don't see me as somebody that's
trying to break in.
Right. They just saw me as someone who looked like a cool chick and wanted to like hang out and chit chat. And all of a sudden,
look at this ego, Chris. All of a sudden,
well, it was
it's crazy,
but it was that verification by them that I was okay.
Yeah.
That made me comfortable staying. But
you don't need that verification.
I don't. And I'm working on trying to get it without that. But it's just that realization that you may be intimidated by them, but they don't know that you're intimidated by them. And again, don't hide it, but just remember you're on the same playing field. You're just as good as they are.
Absolutely. Yeah,
probably not, but just tell yourself you are.
Yeah, one more thing I'm going to throw in. I think I told this story already. I'm not really sure, but I went to the Sirius station and was on the Suicide Girls radio show again. I think I did tell this story. But I walked into the room and the person who was hosting the show said, don't talk to each other about what you do. I want it for on air. Like, don't ruin it. So I, like, right away, I was uncomfortable. I didn't know these people. I got nervous. Like, they could be anybody. So for me, they could totally intimidate me. So I said, all right, don't talk about stuff for the show. Let's talk about my new natural deodorant that I'm using. And that's, like, top of mind for me. And I'm like, I am so self-conscious that I stink right now because I have tried to be really good and not use aluminum on my armpits, which I've gone back to because apparently
it's the only thing that works.
It is
quite offensive to other people. No, I'm just joking. But like, that's what I talked about and threw out. And like, the fact that I put that information out there, that's not about like, oh, who are you and what can I get from you? It's me showing that I'm just as self-conscious as anybody else, but I'm confidently saying it. I feel like that got everybody comfortable in the room because they were like, oh my God, I tried it too. And here, come over, I'll smell your armpit. And then I'm like, you know, sticking my armpit in somebody's nose that I just met. So those are things that
it's
can
a great night.
That can really, it was a fantastic
and
night.
Call it a Saturday.
I used to have this same problem. And then I realized, why am I putting these women on a pedestal?
Yeah.
I don't know you. You've never done anything
but
for
you
me
don't
other
know
than
me.
I'm saying you haven't done anything for me other than, you know, arouse me in this moment because you look good. But why am I putting you on this great pedestal?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of your problem is you're putting these women on a pedestal right away, and because of it you feel like you're not worthy. Look, man, you obviously are funny because you make people laugh. You kind of, you know, you obviously maybe make fun of people a little bit, and that's why some of these girls like you, because you got that. You know,
snarky
little flirty sense of humor.
And it takes confidence to have the snarky sense of humor. So use that confidence when speaking to a girl that you're attracted to or interested
Absolutely.
In.
I know that she's probably freaking out about herself more than anything else.
And
we're also concerned about ourselves every day that no one else is thinking about anybody else
right,
but
and
themselves.
We all think we are being thought about all the time.
Yeah. So that's always a good reminder for me. It's like, you know what? She's probably worried that she's...
And listen, most men are
super
probably
hot and can't get any guy.
But
in the room.
That's
like,
you know,
only
a
that.
Lot of these pretty girls, men put them on a pedestal, and that's what they're used to, and they get attracted to the guy that really just knocks them right off of it. Once I started, you know what I used to do is I used to look at really pretty girls and look at what was wrong with them right away.
I know that's
and
a tactic a lot of people use. I know it's a good
and
one,
and I would
but,
be unattracted to them, but then start flirting with them, and then I would get them. And then somewhere I'd have to learn how to switch it back on to, damn, this girl's really hot. But
a good way to use
ignore
that
the
tactic
halitosis.
Is to, like, laugh at it. Because then you can say, okay, she's human. She's got, like, a weird big toe. Or, like, she has, like, a whisker on her
or
chin.
Or she's got a lazy
eye. She's got Megan Fox thumbs.
She's got web toes.
Megan Fox thumbs.
Did you hear what he said?
Oh, she does have weird thumbs.
She's got a lazy eye.
Oh.
Wait till you see pictures of me in middle school.
I'd
it
look
got
at you
gnarly.
In the face right now, but I can't. Because my eyes.
I was pretty.
I could probably go head
through.
To head with you, Kristen. I had an expander in the roof of my mouth, though I had a big space between my teeth.
Oh, I had a space too.
It got
I got
weird.
That filled in.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Can you hear what I said? I'm like, I was pretty the whole way through. No, that's not true. People didn't like me. That's how I developed my personality. And that wraps up this segment of Analyze This.
Well done, Marnie.
Okay. But Arden, thank you so much for being on the show. Do you want to tell people where to get in touch with you and learn more about what you do?
Sure, absolutely. You can check out my blog, Arden Lee, ArdenLeigh.typepad.com. You can also check out my organization, the Siren Seduction Forum for Women, at seductionsirens.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Arden Sirens.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Arden.
Yeah,
and we'll definitely have another episode about, I don't even know what it's about, but just like of you two, you and Mo fighting. I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah,
I'd
look
forward to it. I love it. I would love to hear that debate.
I'm bringing the popcorn.
Bring it, girl.
All right. We will talk to you later.
Thanks, Arden.
Thanks.
All right. So thank you for all those questions. We now have like a lot of emails to go through. So I'm sorry if we didn't get to yours today. But you know what? Write to us on Twitter and remind us to go look for your email. That's how we will know.
Keep it short so we can get to you.
Exactly. Like ask your questions on there, but also say like, hey, girls of Ask Women, like what the fuck is up with you? Go check out my email. It's this email address. And then I will definitely pick that one.
But also ask your questions on Twitter.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
We're going to get to those first because they're a lot easier to answer.
Yeah.
Right. And probably less boring for you to listen to.
Yeah. Right? So just make it short and concise and follow us on Twitter. And it's at Ask Women Podcast on Twitter.
Wonderful.
So make sure you go there. If you don't have an account, it's easy. Make one and then talk to us.
Exactly. When we interact with you there, we interact with you over email. Yeah. So therefore, you can get access to us. But also, if you do want to send in more long-winded questions, then send them to ask@askwomenpodcast.com so you can be a part of the next segment of Analyze This.
And don't be afraid to look us up on Facebook, too.
Oh, yeah. God, so much. And Instagram women. And like, I
Ask Women Pod on Instagram.
Amazing.
Get involved with the crazy.
And also follow me on Twitter. I'm Kristen Carney, and it's amazing. Just follow me there, at Kristen Carney.
Fantastic. And check out my website. No, I'm just joking. I'm going to like But check out our new episodes of Ask Women Podcast. They go up fresh on Thursdays, and we will speak to you next time. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Guys, do you want to give your women a hard time?
Erections. Really? Do you people think we're so shallow that the only way to get us to listen is using a sultry voice? Let me tell you how thinking men are dealing with their erections. Enzyte. It's true. Millions of men rely on Enzyte brands knowing they'll be ready to stand and deliver a confident performance anytime, every time. That's huge. Just one capsule a day, sort of like a vitamin you take once a day, is all it takes for strong peak male enhancement. Hurry. If you call now, you can score a special Enzyte trial pack for the sack and receive a 10-day sample of Ogaplex for the ultimate male experience free with your order. Call now for the most powerful erections imaginable with the Enzyte trial pack for the sack. Call 1-800-993-5250 or go to SmilingBob.com. SmilingBob.com. SmilingBob.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease. Free trial requires Vialife enrollment with future auto shipments.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.